Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who is here to speak with us about The Big Bamboozle, Sherry and Ashwini's new book, and its role in our 2016 practice year. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Jen. Thank you. Always great to be invited.
Yeah. So rumor has it there's going to be an opportunity to walk through the new book with the entire Sangha this year.
Exactly so. That rumor is correct.
Yay.
Yeah, it's really great. It's just an idea that kind of arrived organically, and it seems to really have taken off. It seems like there's a lot of folks that are very excited about the possibility of being able to do that as a Sangha. So shall I give a little a bit of a history lesson here to start, Jen? A little
it would
background?
Be perfect, Chris. Perfect.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So probably 5 years ago, we started sending out weekly readings from Sherry's books to the group coordinators of our sitting groups. And each week we'd send one out, and then those were used as the focus for those groups, for each of those local sitting groups.
And so they'd do the reading and kind of discuss what people were seeing about that, the reading.
That's it. Yep, exactly. And then 2 years ago, when we started with the virtual meditation groups, then we decided to add those to include that weekly reading on the at the end of the virtual each of those virtual meditation groups. And so over the years, we've done five or six books. I think we started with The Key, and the name
the key.
Of The Key is Willingness.
Yeah,
a perfect place
there.
To start. Yeah,
exactly.
That was pretty obvious, wasn't it? First book.
Yeah.
And then we just recently finished When You're Falling Dive.
Yeah, and one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was great. So pretty much all last year, the local sitting groups and virtual meditation groups were getting those readings on a weekly basis. And so that was grand. And then we finished up, you know, not too long ago, and we were looking for the next book. And Sherry and Ashwini, again, both graciously offered the exercises from the Big Bamboozle to keep us going. And originally it was just going to be a continuation with the sitting groups and virtual meditation groups, but the word got out, as you say, the rumor escaped. and it's really an idea whose time has come, because a lot of people started getting excited about it and wanting to participate in that.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm one of the guilty parties.
You've done your share of rumor spreading in that.
I've done my share of rumor spreading.
Okay.
At the end of the New Year's retreat, the very last group, I was talking about it, and it just, to me, we spoke about the book itself when it first came out, and we had a good news update about it, but just the way that it's structured, and maybe you're going to speak about that in a minute, but the way that it's structured lends itself so perfectly to this format.
It really does. So the book is divided into 12 bamboozles, 12 sections, and then each section has four exercises, and each exercise or assignment is supposed to be, it's a weekly assignment, so it's done over the course of a week. And then there's the book has a has an explanation of the bamboozle, and then the four exercises. So what we're going to do is send out the assignments one per week, and right now the first week that we'll be doing that will be starting on Sunday the 24th through that following Saturday will be the first. The first bamboozle and the first assignment.
Great. So a week from this Sunday will be the first week that we enter into. We'll all be on Bamboozle 1.
That's right.
The first assignment, the first week of the first Bamboozle.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah.
And then if you, and so the encouragement is to purchase a book and then record and listen to the description of the bamboozle, and then for 4 weeks work with that particular bamboozle with those assignments.
With those four assignments, yeah. And I will say they're brilliantly laid out. So when we got the book, I started right in, doing the assignment, and I stopped. As soon as I realized we were going to do it as a whole song, I stopped. I'm starting again next week.
Great.
So it's just really, really fun. And, what's fun about it is that it's – so the structured part of it is, as you said, the sitting groups are all going to have it. So that means anyone who's lucky enough to have a local sitting group will actually have the opportunity to discuss it, with a group of folks. The virtual meditation groups, I think, don't have a discussion component with them, if I'm not mistaken, but just the opportunity to share the assignment together with the being on that virtual sitting with folks.
Yeah.
But then I guess the piece that's just so fun for me is that it's so powerful. I mean, all of the tools we use are powerful. And I think what this one has really started to reveal for me is the pernicious way that conditioning can use anything, including practice, to just weave its little wormy way in.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start to do something like turn around and look directly at it, instead of us being constantly scrutinized by it, we're turning around and looking at it, it starts to pull out all the stops. And
exactly.
So to have the book laid out in that over 12 months, broken down into 1 week sections, which I love because sometimes I feel like practice is moving so fast. So it's like wait a little more time on that one, more time. So to have a whole week to look at a particular bamboozle, and to know that the whole sangha is doing it too. That very same focus just feels so powerful somehow.
Yeah. Boy, I sure agree with that. And the virtual meditation group folks are welcome to call into open air. That's a possibility if they would like to do some processing on that. And, I couldn't agree more with that. Along with the assignments, then there's also tips at the con artist at outwitting egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. So, a very important piece of it. We have a few bamboozles of our own.
Exactly. We can start toying with it.
Exactly. That's what was dropping in for me is one of the fun parts of this is you get to say the word bamboozle pretty often. And it's hard to stay identified in that place, so... I would challenge
good
anybody
point.
To call into open air and say, I've been bamboozled without smiling at least a little bit. So.
I love it. And we know that above all, ego cannot stand to be laughed at. So
exactly.
You're right. That is our greatest weapon. Yeah. So even if you don't have a sitting group that you sit with locally, exactly, you can be part of it with the virtual meditation groups. But as you say...
Yep.
Call into open air. Patty did the other, I think, was it last week? I think it was just last week, maybe the week before, called in and talked about what she was seeing in that week's assignment for the big bamboozle. And that from here on, for the whole year, I call in on, whatever, July 17th, and I know that what I'm looking at is what the whole sangha is looking at. And somehow that just makes it really fun and powerful. So I talk about it in my reflective listening call. And very likely my reflective listening buddy is in the same place. Or I look at it with my coach
great.
It is.
Yeah.
But we're right there together moving through it, piece by piece by piece, dismantling that system that has been in control of our lives.
Nice. Yeah, as you're saying that, I can feel the energy building. I can feel the synergy of having us all kind of working through it together.
Exactly.
Good.
Yeah. So I know folks are working also to do things like incorporate it into our tweets so that when we're moving on to the next assignment, that will go out as a, in the tweet so that people will be reminded, possibly even emails, to remind folks that here we go, we're on to the next assignment, that kind of thing. So to kind of keep us all in step and in rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and I'm not quite 100% sure, we'll see how this plays out, that a tweet will go out when we switch bamboozles. So perhaps not each week, but as we move from the first bamboozle to the second, so 4 weeks, at 4 week intervals, then a tweet will remind everybody, here's where we are, and
very good.
Keep going.
Yep. So we've conquered distraction, and now we're on to,
That's right. Yeah. Put a check next to distraction, and what's next?
Exactly. Yeah. What's next?
Yeah.
Really, really fun, Chris.
Yeah. I am absolutely looking forward to it. So.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, thanks
like
so
you say,
much for your.
It's just it's really great to have that week long focused, and the assignments are laid out really simply and clearly. So that it's just really accessible, and ups the chances that we'll be making some big moves towards freedom.
Yeah, you know, and as you say that, the other piece of it that's so supportive that I was finding is that each night, a number of them have record through the day or however it is, but certainly each night there's a recording to recap that, and so that really boosts the. Not the habit, but I can't think of the word that I want, but really supporting us to stay in a regular rhythm with our recording and listening practice.
Yeah.
That's really supportive, too.
Yeah. I look at that as it keeps the aperture for intuition open. And, just keeps
very
that opening there so that life can drop in the next piece that's there for me to see.
Yes, very good. Yeah, often I would get to the end of the day and doing that check-in, and, the voices have one thing to say, well, there's nothing really, and then immediately when I start recording, wait a minute, there's all this stuff to see about this. Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for putting it together for us and for being with us this afternoon.
You bet. Thank you, too, Jen.
All right.
Always a pleasure.
Good night, Chris.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Aren't they just about as cute and smart and charming as people ever need to be?
Yes. And they do it so effortlessly. It's beautiful.
They seem to, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Very inspiring.
Yeah. It is inspiring.
And, of course, what they're talking about and planning for us is very, very fun. So
yes.
I'm excited about that.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. It's fun to hear about how the theme is going to be woven throughout all different practice opportunities during the year.
Yes. Yeah. And we got a lot going on. There's just no doubt about that. I know Ashwini is going to address this on the kickoff, but I'm already getting messages from people saying, wait a minute, I'm not sure I can do all of this. So should I do this or should I do this? Or would it be better, so we'll look at that as time goes on. And I like what you pointed out. It seems really important that, and what Chris and Jen were pointing out, we're going to do this together, right? So these themes are going to go through everything. Nobody's going to get left behind. I'm doing this little cruising thing with my hands. You know how you do that? We're just going to go right on through 2016. And so I was laughing to myself. We were talking about, Jen said, let's put distraction behind us. And I always go back to, I always say it's 2013. I don't know if it was 2013, but the year that we stopped feeling bad as a Sangha, we just put that behind us. And so maybe 2016 will be the year that we put being bamboozled behind us. And gosh, wouldn't that make 2017 special?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Yeah. I can just imagine all the different tweets coming in and recordings and assignments.
Yeah.
all of it.
Yeah. Gets more real all the time. Because I was talking with a group of people this morning, and once again, just, you know, launching with this insane amount of passion about what it's like always to be living either in a conversation about what is true and real or in no conversation at all. So one of those two, but never in that negative conversation and conditioned mind, that it is possible. And that's what all of this is about, right? It's just getting to the point where anybody who chooses to can be living in a constant conversation that's bringing us back to this here now. And it's just thrilling. It's thrilling to watch people make that choice, make that decision for themselves in their lives, and then go about pursuing it. Just
yes,
glorious.
Yes. And as you were talking, I was just seeing that, you know, the beauty of the teachings and the practice that has been given to us, and then the way you and Ashwini and the monastery have taken all that and incorporated all this new technology to really, you know, send it right back out in every different form possible.
Yes, yes. And somebody else whose name doesn't get mentioned a lot in this, but who is, it's one of those, without him we would be dead in the water, and that's Bob, our IT
yes.
genius, who, you know, whatever crazy stuff, I remember us being at a New Year's, I think it was a New Year's retreat, sitting in a little back room,
yeah.
talking about, well, would it be possible to send text messages out to everybody at once with the, you know, and I mean, this was brand new ideas at this point, right? And Bob saying, well, yeah, let me look into it. And that's always his answer. Well, let me look into it. And then he comes back with, okay, yeah, this is what we can do. So it's, we owe a tremendous gift to him. So.
Mm-hmm. It's just total genius, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a schedule?
I do.
How did I know?
We landed on that at the same time. That was good.
Yeah.
There are still a few slots left in the free video workshop with you, Sherry, this Saturday, January 16th. That will kick off the new year.
Uh-huh.
And beginning January, yes. And beginning January 30th, the 2016 year-long retreat with the theme Anjali, emptying your teacup, will provide fabulous practice support. So join
mm-hmm.
us in exploring this year what we have to let go in order to see what we have to offer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for those who would like to get away from it all and deepen conscious compassionate awareness, the upcoming practice weekend, January 22nd through 24th, is the perfect opportunity. The weekend includes guidance, group, and a practice activity in the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California.
Mm-hmm.
And an exciting, yes, it will be, and an exciting and atypical email class with you, Sherry, is coming up next month.
Mm-hmm.
This class will use the Socratic method, a form of inquiry and discussion using questions and answers to illuminate particular content or process.
Yes, and it's for each individual, isn't it? There's no theme in this. It's just whatever somebody is looking at in their life, in their awareness practice.
Yes, yes. And so in these 10 interactions with you, Sherry, you'll offer guidance on whatever focus is chosen by each participant.
Yes. So just to in-depth it a little bit since we're here. So say you were going to do the class and you wanted to look at X, and we would look at that back and forth for, I think it's something like 10 exchanges, where I would be encouraging you to explore that topic. So it's not a, you know, this week you're looking at this and next week you're looking at that. It's one topic, and we're just going to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And all of the exchanges for everybody will be available to everybody, anonymous in the way that we always do it. But it will be possible to follow these exchanges. So I'm excited about it. We've never done anything quite like this, but I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yes, it's fascinating. And finally, you, Sherry, and Ashwini will be at East West Bookshop in Seattle, Washington on February 5th to lead a workshop on the Big Bamboozle.
Mm-hmm. I called them the other day because somebody had let me know that they tried to find it on their website and they couldn't find it. So if somebody goes there and they don't find it, well, it's just they haven't gotten it up yet. But it is on the 5th.
Great. Yeah, and so registration for this evening event will open soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these opportunities and all others, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank
if folks
you.
Could stay on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that would be great. And if you're not already in the queue, you can make a show, indicate your desire to talk with Sherry by pressing *6 and then 1. You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's
here we
go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Diane.
Well, hello, hi. Diane. How are you?
I'm great. I haven't put myself in the queue in so long, and then I heard someone recently say, remind me that it's a good thing to put ourselves in the queue. I did that for a while last year, and then I thought I was done with that, but it really keeps it alive to be in the queue.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really excited about this Big Bamboozle thing. So I'm just really excited about that, and wow. here's something that dropped in just before I heard that I was live, which is that I'm looking at I go to work and there's this a coworker who I notice I have this reaction of irritation with her, and then. It happens immediately. So I was trying to look at it, and I was recording about it. And the thing that I was seeing is that I've been for all these past weeks trying to be nice to her, which really doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
I mean, at all. So I thought, okay, I need to look at it differently. And what dropped in recording today was. Maybe the first step would be to just accept that I have this, you know, that ego has this reaction and look at it. And so I guess I would love some guidance with that.
Well, first of all, I love it that you phrased it that way. The ego has this reaction, because that's really,
uh-huh.
really important, isn't it? To realize that. So if we did a little basic exercise that I know is very familiar to you, but you're a good sport, so you're going to play along anyway.
Uh-huh.
If you came up with 3 words or phrases to describe this woman, what would those be?
Like, without censoring myself, right? Just
that's
what
right.
comes up immediately?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we don't know her, so you can lay it all out there.
So controlling, kind.
Controlling and what?
Kind. She's kind. I mean,
she is a kind person.
Yes, she's a kind
person. I was going to say that, yeah, that can be annoying.
That doesn't irritate. It's not annoying to me, that part. No. So what the attributes that are annoying. Okay, so the controlling, anxious, And I can't find a third one.
Okay, so those two probably work. Those are good.
Yeah.
So she's anxious, and you suspect that out of her anxiety, she's controlling.
Uh huh. Yes.
Okay. Is that kind of how it goes together?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So this is a projection exercise.
Yeah.
So, okay, does that feel familiar to you about you, that you get anxious and get controlling?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It does. Okay, I'll let you guide.
Well, no. So you tell me what you see about that. So you recognize, I'm that way too.
Yes, and I think I've seen that, and then where I go with it, or where ego goes with it, is, oh, you're so hopeless. You know, like you can't. That's exactly who you are, and that is not okay. It's not okay to be that way.
Yes.
You should
and of course,
be better than that.
That conversation is designed to keep you stuck.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. There's no other reason for that, because you're a smart person. So without that conversation, you're going to get really curious. Okay. So what's going on with this is that I'm just like that. When I'm not around her, I don't have to face it. When I get around her, I'm in touch with how I am that is not acceptable to me. And so I want to get rid of her, so I'm not in touch with how I feel.
Yes.
Yeah? Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So then the next level, as you've noticed, is when you catch on to that, then the voices come in to say, well, you shouldn't be that way. I mean, this is proof there's something wrong with you. But because we do awareness practice, what we get to do is something different, which is, okay, all right, let's tackle this. So so there's the anxiety. That might be the first place to look, although you do want to be looking at the relationship. So when am I controlling? Well, it's when I feel anxious. When I feel anxious, I start trying to control my environment so that I'm less anxious. Okay, these are good clues, right? And so how do I now work with the anxiety? And, of course, one of the ways to work with anxiety is to recognize those sensations in the body, recognize that they don't mean anything, and then turn our attention to what we want to experience instead. Right?
Okay.
So
So
God, doing that progression, it sounds so simple.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it is. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, you are going to be shocked at how quickly you move through this as soon as you're allowed to address the actual issue. Yeah, but what happens to us, the reason that things take us so long to get through, is that we're not dealing with the issue. We're dealing with a conversation in conditioned mind about what's wrong with us, that we're having the experience that we're having. So now you're not listening to that, right? You are just turning your attention. So when you're alone, what are the are those sensations there? When they come up, how does that happen? Is it because you're at work? Is it because you're around other people? And little controlling things that you catch on to about yourself. Okay, well, just noticing that, right? And then you'll be grateful to be around this woman because she puts you in touch with what you're working on.
Yes. Yeah. That's great. And then I can just feel, just listening to you, that then it's really an exciting adventure rather than, oh, no. Yeah.
Precisely. And and can you imagine what a different world it would be if everybody who experiences anxiety saw getting to the other side of that as an exciting adventure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a different world we would live in. And it is an exciting adventure. Yeah. As soon as we get out of that conversation, we don't need the medication.
Yes.
We just need to go on the adventure.
Uh-huh. Oh, and then it what you're saying ties into the, we were talking earlier, I mean, Chris and Jen were talking earlier about the weekly reading from the meditation group, and this week it was about this, you know, this story about the butcher and how this guy asked for the best piece of meat, and the butcher tells him, well, all the pieces of meat are the best, they're all the best. And then the person who asked the question gets enlightened, and as he hears that, and I just, I'm hearing you say is that this is the best opportunity, as everything is for us.
Yes. Yes.
And it changes my attitude towards this coworker in a phenomenal way, you know, just.
Yes. She's your own little personal bodhisattva, your own little Buddha, holding your hand and guiding you to freedom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Yes.
Take good care
Thank
of yourself.
You.
Glad you glad you went in the queue. Glad you did that.
Yes, it's so great. Thank you for everything, Sherry. And thank you, Michael.
Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Dion. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dion. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Well, hello, Ellie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Sherry?
Great, great. What's going on?
Lots of good things. And I've just been thinking that you often talk about how gratitude wants to give. And one of the stories that happens with me is this story about overwhelm and having too much on my plate. And those stories, and so it kind of interacts in this way of, like, there's this thing that I've been asked to help with this ongoing project, and it's something I really want to do, but then there's this conversation about having too much and getting overwhelmed.
Uh-huh. So the conversation is not that that's a current experience, but that that will happen to you.
Correct.
If you do this, if you do this thing, what will happen is that you'll have too much to do and you'll get overwhelmed.
Correct. And the mentor says, you know, it's going to be okay, just take it one step at a time and stay right here, you know, because it's all manageable here in this moment.
Yes. And what a wonderful world it would be if people could be doing a lot and not be overwhelmed. If people could be really busy and not overwhelmed. So you only have one situation in your life instead of two.
What do you mean only one?
Well, so you're really busy. That's the situation that you have. When the conversation starts, that's when you are told you're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're just really busy. You could even say you're too busy, which is kind of an interesting one to explore on its own. But where the problem starts is when the conversation starts. Oh my God, this is too much. You can't do this. You're never going to get it all done. you've got to do this and this and this. You've got to do that. You've got to, and there's that and there's that deadline, and those people are calling, and this is never going to, yeah. So you're trying to solve all of these problems in a moment that doesn't exist. And coincidentally, the story, the problems, only exist in conditioned mind.
Yeah. Because I'm so excited about, like, everything. I'm getting to do all this amazing music and be involved in these really great projects and interact with people who I love. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And
now,
yeah.
If you get talked into, and again, it's going to be voices in your head, right? Voices in your head, and they've got you. So there's your week laid out, or month laid out, or both, and you have 3 things to do at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., and 4 things to do at 11 a.m., and 6 things to do at noon, and 8 things to do. Right? Then that's too much to do. You see, it's impossible, and again, it only exists in conditioned mind. Because the fact is, you're going to be in one place doing one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that happens is I get to a point where sometimes it does happen that it is too much and I have to step away from something. And the story tends to be that, oh, well, you were wrong to pick that up in the first place.
Yeah, and that's, you know what we call that, right?
No.
Crapola.
Yeah.
Because, again, that voice in conditioned mind is making it seem as if it knows something, and it doesn't. So when you start something, you have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea whatsoever, right? Nobody does.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
And the experience of even just doing part of something can be wonderful. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's also possible to get to the place of, I'm really tired. And often what we need when we're really tired is to stop thinking about everything and just rest a little. And then the life force comes back and we have the energy and the space opens up and we find we can continue. But you shouldn't have taken that on. No, that is absolutely bogus. Nobody knew what was going to work out and what wasn't. The voice is just making it seem as if it did and you should have. Okay, then it looks out into the future. You can't do that. You're going to be overwhelmed. It's going to be, it doesn't know that. Now, the thing that we can know is that it's going to try to talk you into believing that.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go along, there you are. You're busy. And there's a lot of stuff going on, and maybe you're getting tired. Maybe you actually need to cancel everything and go to bed at 7 p.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you just, again, you've been spending way too much time in conditioned mind listening to those voices, okay? And so you do that. You take care of yourself, and you take it as an opportunity to see how does overwhelm happen. Because if you don't do that, it will talk you into believing that your experience is one of being overwhelmed. And again, overwhelm is only a conversation in conditioned mind, always.
How would you look at overwhelm?
Well, the thing that we can do that is, it is tricky. Okay, it is. When you realize that is nothing but a conversation in conditioned mind, if you were to replace it, say you made recordings that say, I have a lot of energy I'm good at what I do. I'm efficient. Mm-hmm. I can accomplish a lot. And I enjoy doing all of it. And the reality is there are only so many hours in the day, and I'm one person, and I can get done what I can get done. And mm-hmm. that's the conversation you live in, which is true, right? So somebody calls up and says, can you get together this afternoon? I have a bup. And you look at it and you say, I can't. I'd love to, but I can't because I'm busy doing this thing. Okay? Now, the voices in your head would talk you into, oh, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. That'd be so wonderful. That'd be so fabulous. That'd be so... You're chuckling as if you've heard these voices. Okay? And then you get talked into doing that. And then another thing and another thing and another thing. And then the conversation flips to, this is too much. You're too tired. You're too busy. This is overwhelming. You can't do this. And the whole point of it is to take you to that place, because that's when egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate sucks the energy out of you. And you can watch it. So if you change the word overwhelm to the little sentence, self-hate sucking the energy out of me, you'll begin to see more clearly how it's happening.
I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I will go play with that.
All right. Good. Good. And it's not one more thing to do, because, you know, the bottom line of this, what we're going for, bottom line, again, always, is to get out of that negative conversation and conditioned mind. And what it takes most of us a long time to get, at least to get in the depth that makes a difference in our lives, is that any conversation and conditioned mind is negative. So when I look to conditioned mind to decide, should I do that or shouldn't I do that, there it is. And any aspect of that, the process and the conclusion is negative.
Huh.
But what you know how to do is turn to the mentor.
Yes,
and,
I do.
And it's in that, that's right, it's in that relationship that you will make your decisions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Awesome.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. Sherry, that was a fascinating conversation. Really helpful.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Any particular thing about that, Michael?
Yes, I totally know that experience of overwhelm and too much to do. And I got a really helpful reframing from practice on the whole topic.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was an email class or where. But instead of so much to do, wow, look at all these wonderful opportunities that are available to me. And it's like, oh, I'll choose that one, and then I'm going to choose that one. And it's just genius. They're not burdens. They're opportunities.
Yes, yes. And when we develop the relationship with the intelligence that animates our life, or however we want to talk about that, that we can turn there and sit and just sit quietly and wait for whatever it is to drop in. It'll drop in.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? And we're always just doing that one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do an awful lot of those when we're not in a negative conversation and conditioned mind. I swear, that's what drains about 90% of the energy out of human beings. You know, at the end of the day, people come in exhausted, right? But they're not exhausted from what they did. They're exhausted from that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, because if each one thing is done in the presence and joy of the moment, even if it's just one after another, then the energy's not taken away.
That's right. That's right. And of course, then all of the things that we encourage people to do, at the end of the day, instead of somewhere in a semi-passed out state, usually for an awful lot of people, sadly, to eat and drink a bunch of stuff that's not good for them, but to sit down and make a recording about all of the things that you did, you know, all of the things that were helpful and kind and generous and lovely and all of those kinds of things, and jot those down on your calendar and put those stars and hearts and whatever it is that you do to acknowledge the fact that this was a great day. Great things happened to me. I was a great person. I was out there. I was participating. I was being the best person I could be. Yay! And then from that, go to the next activity of taking good care of the human being.
Yeah, it's a fabulous program.
It really is. Yep, yes. Goodness in every direction.
Yes, yeah. And to get support for this fabulous program, people can learn about the coaching program, which we're going to hear from.
Oh, very good, Michael. Excellent segue. Well done.
Thank you.
Are we going
to... Sorry to cut you off, Sherry. Yeah, we're going to go...
Oh, no, I was just playing. I was saying, are we going to learn about that now?
Yes, we are, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Thank you.
This year's theme is Training to Live in This Here Now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Rico.
Hey, Rico. How are you doing?
Hi. Boy, I'm really surprised that I got on the air, because every time I try, I don't get the sequence correct in the buttons to press on the phone. And I make a note. No, I'm not kidding. I make a note to do it in the proper sequence, and it never works out. And then somehow I figure it out or guide
me. Well, so here's my part of that, Rico. I had such a completely bizarre technological day today, or technology day today, that I finally went online to find out what Mercury is doing. And I found out Mercury is retrograde from the 5th to the 25th of January. But here's the thing. That's right. But Mercury was on your side with this.
Whoa. But what? So at 4:40, I dialed in. And then finally at 5 o'clock, the phone said, if you want to be in the queue, you have to dial the *6 and then add the 1. Well, I had to start all over again. So, wow, what a wonderful sequence.
So what else is going on?
My grandkids would really have a laugh at this. But so I tell you, the Bamboozle book is kicking me in out of my comfort zone.
Ah, well, this is very good. Out of ego's comfort zone.
Wow, thank you for that. Out of ego's comfort zone. And so on January 1st, I had an event in my life where I had just had I had a big operation, and I was advised to be very, very careful in my activities, my physical activities. And I happened to be out on the street, and it was a sunny day, and a neighbor kid came around. I've known him since he was in diapers, and he had a hoverboard, one of these kind of like electric scooters kind of thing you step on. And, of mm-hmm. course, I got caught up in the enthusiasm. And he said, "Now, Rico, you can do this." Well, I'm a pretty athletic person. And I did the exact opposite thing that the surgeon and the physical therapist had begged me to do for 8 weeks. And so, anyway, I had a very strong impact and threatened the integrity of this surgery. And I was as soon as I crashed and got up, I was vigilant for the beating.
Mm-hmm.
No beating. I said, you know, what I'm going to focus on, instead of the names that my mother and father would call me, or my hockey coach, I'm going to focus on the enthusiasm of this little kid who still feels so enthusiastic and alive about life. He wants to have fun with the little kids in the neighborhood. So I kept my focus on the positive. Well, since last week's radio show, and I got into the a chapter in the Bamboozle on duality, in my entire life, I've never had a problem with a decision. Like, bam, bam, bam. Like, I've never been indecisive. Since I got into the chapter on duality, decisions are like agony. And the beatings have come on, like, stronger than ever since I learned about this practice.
Wow.
Just
you are upsetting ego in a very big way.
No, I mean that's no joke. Like, and so what I've come to see is, wow, I must be doing the right thing, because I mean it's in my face.
Yeah.
Like, big time. And we don't in India. We prostrate ourselves, and I mean, I did a bunch of that. But if there was a way to, we bow to the Dharma,
mm-hmm.
that it's available, and we bow to the willingness in the person to stay with this and to realize, wow, there's no winning.
Right.
The other part of it is that. And I've said this before, and it strikes me again, is I happen to have a piece of work published many, many years ago about what is called the superego, the critic, in sports. And I thought, you know, I think I had a handle on this, because I spent years studying this, and I gave seminars as an authority. I tell you, I feel like brand new learning about the hate of this egocentric karma conditioning. Just
yes.
A completely new level of hatred that it has.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and your statement, there's no winning with this, there isn't. There is no way that we can win with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. The only way that we can win, in quotes, is to ignore it completely and to lose interest in it utterly.
And
that's it.
When we did the precepts retreat, I think it was 4.5 years ago or something, so what I took home from that, it's on my kitchen, it says, in spiritual practice, your best friend will be a sense of humor. Quote by Sherry Huber. And that has proved to be the key to living with this hateful voice coming down on me so harsh.
Yes. As Jen mentioned in the Good News Update, the one thing that ego cannot abide is being laughed at. And it is such a shame that people are so afraid of it, because of course it just thrives in that intimidation, and you know, they get somebody cowering and trying to be good enough not to get a beating and all of that. If we just learn to turn around and laugh at it, you know, the thing for us really to get about this is it's got nothing, nothing. It calls you names. It says that you're stupid. It tells you you did the wrong thing. And people feel bad. Why? Why? There's just no sense in it. It doesn't know anything. It's just, it's a brainwashing program. It's just in there running. And if we saw it as a stand-up comedy, then we would have the relationship with it that would make all the difference in the world. So Hallelujah. The conditioned mind is a comedy club, and that voice is stand-up comedy.
Holy moly. And behind that all, the platform upon which this whole structure works, for me anyway, is living compassion. Like, whoa, there has to be, the default is, wow, compassion.
That's compassion. Right. So as soon, and you know, I know you know this, laughter and compassion go really well together.
Oh,
really
sing
well.
It to me. Sing it, sister. I'm right there.
Yeah, and so in realizing that, we can just laugh conditioning out of business, and what's left then is deep compassion and understanding and caring, reverence for everything that is authentic, and that is joyful. So there's just no way that we ever need to live a moment in the gloom and doom of egocentric karmic conditioning self-aid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I'm glad you made it through tonight.
Wow. So am I. And I'm just telling you, I'm so grateful for you and Ashwini for the big bamboozle, because it is like a deal maker here. It's like, whoa. And I pity conditioning, because we got a lot coming at it to just bust it.
Oh, it doesn't stand a chance this year, does it?
It doesn't stand a chance. It's like we got its number. Like through this, it's like we've gone to the Super Bowl and we have the opponent's game plan.
That's right. That's right.
It's really true. We got the
and their coat's in our pocket.
Yeah, hallelujah.
All right. Thanks, Rico.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Gosh,
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. I had a lot of chuckles during that conversation, Sherry. Thanks for that. Yes. And we have
also
more
very much fun. Good.
Yeah.
Let's talk to somebody.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, Sherry, this is Susan calling from L.A.
Well, hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm good. I thought I'd be the very last. I'm usually the last person on.
What? That's right. That's right. You have that kind of magic timing, don't you? What is going on?
Well, I'm checking in, saying hi, and I have I wanted to just give you a little bit of content.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a different perspective than the conversation in my head. And because I already know
always
it's
a good
not,
idea.
Yeah, I know it's not good, but I'm perseverating. And the brief content is my eldest son moved home 6 months ago. He graduated from law school, and he's been, here's the voice, sort of looking for work.
I see.
Yeah. And, you know, 6 months, and we have a small place, and you know, I'm supporting him now while he's looking. And he passed the bar exam, which is incredible here in California. Brilliant. I've made a career out of helping people find jobs, and it's like, will not listen to what I say, not interested in my feedback, wants to do it his way, but, you know, what takes him 4 months to do takes me like a day. You know, that kind of thing, and I find myself just, I don't want to be in this judgmental, kind of angry, frustrated, scared, perseverating conversation in my head. And the last time I talked to you about this was about 4 years ago, and you said the most important thing that most people want is to find their own way. So I've clung to that like a right life raft, but we're going on 6 months and then getting harder and harder to just let him find his own way. So,
well, now, wait. Did I say, and he needs to find his own way living with you while you support him?
No, but I don't know. I mean, he has no money and he doesn't have a job. I don't know how else. I mean, I've come to the point of saying, don't get a law degree. Just get any job. Drive Uber, you know. And what I think is that I must be reaching the point where it's time to nudge hard.
Yeah, where you suspect that it what you're doing is not actually being helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you started out with it's a small place. Now, I seem to remember in our previous conversation, that was one of the conversations that you downsized from the big family home where all the kids were and that sort of thing, and into a smaller place because everybody had flown the coop. Is that the
exactly.
Answer?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So now they're re-nesting.
Well, one is. Yeah, I mean, yes, the other one's off, who's younger, is often, you know, gone and working and has never come back, but this one has. And so I'm trying to find a compassionate yet firm, understanding way to talk to him, you know, to come from that kind of place, not from, you know, you should and why haven't, you know, I wouldn't do that, but I'm stuck.
Well, Let me ask you this, because
okay.
Again, I go back to it. You started out with it's a small place.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
So, part of what is going on, I'm guessing, is that you picked that small place for you.
Yeah.
Not you and a roommate.
Well, it's actually my husband and I are here, and you know we have.
So you already have a roommate.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very different phenomena for three people to live together than two. And
can you be honest with him about that?
Yeah, I mean, what dropped in my head was, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want to make him feel like he's not welcomed or feel bad. And what would he do anyway? He's got no money, no place to go. So, you know, that's...
Okay, so... So here, this is what I would ask to consider.
Okay.
You don't want him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, this would be a good duality bamboozle. Okay.
Okay.
So the conversation is, I don't want him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of that conversation is, I can't ask him not to be. So sometimes I think it's easier if we look at different content, right? So I've got this job, and I hate it. I hate it. And the conversation is all day long about, and then the weekend comes, and then Monday is going to, and I have to go back, and I hate it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I go over to the other side, and I say, you know, I'm going to get out of here. I found this job. I can find another job. I don't want to live like this. It's just not worth it. And the conversation starts in. You can't do that. That's crazy. You make good money. What you need to do is just learn to be all right with it. So I say, okay, I'm going to learn to be all right with it. And I move back over here. My hands are going. So I'm back over here on the left hand now. Okay, now I'm going to work and the voices start in. This is awful. I hate this. I don't want to do this. Okay? And back and forth. The person is jerked between two sides of that duality. The sole purpose of that is to make the person unhappy.
And that's why I call, because I can feel that. It's just like a dog with a bone, like it's going nowhere.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And so here's my best encouragement.
Okay.
don't have that conversation about not wanting him to be there until you're ready to ask him to do something different.
Okay. Okay.
You see what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all that's happening is it's just tearing up your nervous system for absolutely no good result.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. You know, it's like the baby ain't ready to be born, so don't pretend you're in labor.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Or you're not ready to let this go. So
no, I guess
just
not.
Acknowledge you're not ready to let it go.
And don't beat myself up for that, or let ego beat me up for that.
That's right, which is the other part of it, right? You get beat up on both sides. So for self-hate, for ego, this is a dream situation.
Hmm.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You cannot win.
Mm-hmm.
When we know, okay, this is a setup. This is I'm just falling into this trap. It's not about this guy. It's not about this place. It's not about anything. It's about I am willing to be tortured in this duo.
And the other piece, I think, what I felt was, and trusting that when I will be ready at some point, and when I am,
yeah.
I will do what I need to
and
do.
And it'll drop in.
Yeah,
that's, right.
That's the piece that's hardest for me, you know, just that
that's
trust.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's not actually that's hard. It's letting go of the relationship with the voices. That's what people struggle with.
Because that trust is from a totally different place. You know, it's like the voices are in Rome and trust is in Paris.
Say it again.
It's like the voices are in Rome, but trust is in Paris. You know, they're not. They're not the same process at all. And my tendency is to really listen to kind of more of the intellectual because and what if and the logical piece instead of there's a ripening.
Which we call self-hate.
Oh.
Right? Because it is. That rational, logical, and then it gets hold of it, right? It just goes back and forth. One side of the duality, the other side of the duality, and what is it feeding? Self-hatred on both sides. You know, it gets away with it because it has a reputation for being valuable. If people could see what all of that rational, logical is and what it produces, we would be working harder to let it go.
God, I can feel my whole body when you said that just kind of relaxed because along with that rational, logical is I'm in pursuit of the truth. The answer, you know, that's the mask that it wears. It's really powerful, particularly when most people believe that.
Most people believe it deeply. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're just, you know, if you wanted to make a recording about it, it would be along the lines of, you know, I don't know the solution to this situation, and I can only guess. That's because it's not time for there to be a solution. And when it is time for a solution, then that solution will be here. And there's really nothing I can do to make that happen except be open and present and willing for whatever is. So in the meantime, and then you decide what you're going to choose. You know, maybe you're choosing unconditional love or relaxation or enjoying life or whatever it is. But in the meantime, that's what I'm choosing because there's really nothing that I can do about this situation right now. Because it's
not mine. Oh, I love that. I can do that. I think I'm going to find a way to transfer this little conversation onto my recorder and just put it on a feedback loop. But I can feel my body just relax hearing that because it's a calming perspective and it's the truth.
And it's the truth. It has the merit of being the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can feel my body just go...
Excellent. Well,
thank
I'm glad
you,
we had this conversation.
Oh,
me thank
too.
You.
Good to hear from
Welcome.
You. Thanks, Sherry.
All right.
Bye, Michael.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. I was relaxing myself there, Sherry, right along with you.
Really?
Too. It's great.
Me too. No, there's no, yeah. Why get worked up over anything? When it's time for something,
yeah.
It'll happen. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Genius. Just
all right.
Where we started. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Talk to you next
thank
week.
Thank you. It was great. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. Good night.